Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realms of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. And when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. It's clear when you read this Psalm of David that the word healing denotes more than recovering from a wound or from a disease. It has more to do with David asking God to save him in his circumstances. Indeed, in the New Testament, of course, the word for save is often interchangeable with the word for heal, and sometimes it's difficult to know exactly which meaning is meant. In Psalm 30, where David says, Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me, I think he's thinking particularly of being saved from his enemies, those who would try to bring him down. Monarchies, of course, in David's day were often insecure. Not only did foreign nations tend to try to depose you, but you also had to deal with the threats from your own subjects. People who were close to the palace, who were in the court, and even those who were in your own family. David was only too aware that his very existence, his very life, depended on the presence and the power and the direction of God in his life. David was also aware that his well-being depended on his relationship with God. In verse 7, Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm, but when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Of course, David had done enough wrong in his lifetime, had enough blood on his hands to have experienced God's punishment in his life. But still with the knowledge that it was for his correction and not that God might destroy him. For his anger, says David, lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And so David calls on God for mercy and for help. And his argument goes something like this: if you destroy me, I will no longer be any use to you. I can't sing your praises and tell people about you if I'm dead. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. And this raises an important observation about our own healing. When we seek God's help, what is motivating us to do so? Is it just that we want to be more comfortable, that we want to be free from pain or free from the effects of whatever it is in our lives? And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. And Jesus did help people out of compassion because he saw their hardship and he wanted to relieve their hardship. Is it so that we can do more? Just being more busy? Or is it so that we can feel more fulfilled in our life, that we feel that whatever we have, whatever is wrong with us, is simply dulling our ability to do what we want to do? Or is it so that we can serve God more effectively? Heal me, Lord, so that I can praise and serve you. Heal me so that in the very healing itself, I can give glory to you. When Jesus healed Legion, remember Legion who was possessed of many demons, Jesus told him to return and to tell what God had done for him. He wanted to follow Jesus at that moment, to go with Jesus. Jesus says, no, you go, you return, you're healing, and what has happened to you will be a witness to the people that you live with. Go and tell what God has done for you. When the lepers were healed, Jesus notes that only one came back to give thanks. And it seems to assume that the healing has partly taken place so that the people can come into relationship with God and with Jesus Christ and can give thanks to him. When Simon's mother-in-law was healed, it says she got up at once and began to wait on them. So she must have been feeling well, wasn't she, after that. But she is healed so that she can continue to do the job, the ministry which is hers, which God has given to her. I want to remind you too this evening that healing, of course, includes many facets. Healing primarily is to be put right in some way. That may start with claiming the forgiveness of sins that God offers us through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for us. It's asking God to fill us with his Spirit that we may be empowered and that we may be guided by him and know the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which includes joy and peace and love, to be fulfilled and healed in that sense of character healing. Spiritual healing, knowing God as Father and Jesus as Lord, is the first step towards emotional healing, where we not only know peace with God, but also peace with others and peace within ourselves. And then, of course, there is the physical healing, an evidence of God's rule and kingdom power visibly at work in the lives of people. So this evening I want to encourage you to do two things. The first is that when we come to the time of confession, that we truly bring before God those matters that we know need to be put right in our lives. We don't just say the words, but the sins that we have committed, maybe the grudges that we still hold, or the power of things which dominate our lives which need to be broken. Perhaps it's our fears, or our anxieties, or our failures, or things from our past, our upbringing, or our self-centeredness, whatever it may be, to bring those things, similarly to what we heard before, almost to bring them and to place them before God and let him burn them for us, burn up those things and take them away. The second is to think about what your healing might enable you to do this evening. What it may enable you to do better, perhaps in terms of serving God in this world. To think about what God is calling you to do and whether you are willing to do it. The last thing I want to say this evening is that although it is healthy and health-giving to do those sorts of things, your healing is not necessarily dependent on your doing anything or promising anything to God. Jesus healed often simply because he cared about people. Those people who demonstrated their faith simply by asking him. Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. Let's take some time to pray and to meditate on these things.